The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on Newstalk.
Yes, Aisling Larkin, the TV chef and the mindful eating coach, is with me again, and as usual, she has brought some treats into studio. What am I looking at here, Aisling? Thank you very much, Bernie. You're listening to The Hard Shoulder. Kieran Cuddihy with you until 7 o'clock. And Aisling Larkin, the TV chef and the mindful eating coach, is with me again. And as usual, she has brought some treats into studio. What am I looking at here, Aisling?
We are talking all things figs today. Figs are very underrated.
Not a fig roll to be seen.
No. I'm glad you mentioned that. That's a whole other story for another day, by the way. We will do biscuits. We will do that. But no, today we're talking figs. They're seasonal at the moment, so they're in season from June to September. It's a really lovely time to have them and enjoy them. And I think, like, I certainly didn't grow up with them on the kitchen table. They're a very exotic fruit, but kind of underrated.
Yeah, I would say definitely it's only in the last 5 or 6 years I ate a fig.
Yeah.
Proper, an actual fig. Like, I thought they just came in fig rolls. And sometimes, no, I probably would have seen dried figs, and you have some dried figs there. But I definitely never saw, or up until very recently, never tasted a fresh fig.
Yeah, and they're like, they're lovely. So they're kind of, I suppose they come from Persian cuisine, kind of Middle Eastern, Arabic cuisine. Then you've got like Greece, Turkey, a lot of them come from Brazil, California. So that's kind of the parts of the world. Obviously, it's those beautiful, warm, warm, sunny climates that they love. You can grow a fig tree in Ireland.
Can you?
You can, yeah. And they're kind of slightly more ornamental than they are edible. Mm. But you will get some that you can eat off your fig tree. You can buy them for like 8-9 euro in the garden centre. They'll take a couple of years to come on. But yeah, you can. You could have your own fig tree in
the
garden.
All right, in the new garden. Maybe I'll have a little...
There you go.
Do you call it a fig orchard? What do you call a copse of fig trees? Someone will text in at 5306. Let's talk about the actual figs. So it's a fruit?
It is a fruit, but it's slightly different in that it's kind of an inflorescence. So it's almost a flower. So they say it's part of the mulberry family, and it's almost like, so it doesn't blossom. So when you will have your fig tree, it doesn't blossom. You've got your leaves, your branches, and then you've got these teardrops. No flowers.
Well, except these are kind
it's
of the flowers.
Inside. Yeah, so they say the flower is on the inside. So what you look at is this beautiful, delicious, sweet, sticky flesh on the inside. You've got those gorgeous little seeds and little nuts on the inside. So they're seeds, technically. And they give a kind of that nutty crunch. And depending on how ripe they are, depending on the variety, they kind of range in flavour from a really mild kind of watermelon, strawberry, cranberry flavour, all the way up to, if they're really ripe, just kind of deep, honeyed, molasses, caramel flavour. So they're really unusual.
Oh, so it depends on what time of the year you're eating it, as opposed to different varieties? Or are there different varieties
both,
too?
Both, there are different varieties, yeah. So you've got your Black Mission, you've got Celeste, you've got your Brown Turkey, which was the one that will grow really well in Ireland for you. But yeah, depending on the ripeness and the season and how long you have them. So they'll last, like when you get them for a couple of days, you want to eat them. And I suppose in terms of what makes them really interesting from that perspective is it was believed or traditionally they were pollinated by a wasp. So each fig and each variety of fig had its own wasp that would pollinate it. So there's a little, so when it comes down off the bulb or off the stem, there's a little tiny eye or an opening called an ostium.
Yeah.
And the wasp would go in there, the female wasp. So she had collected pollen. She would go inside. She would lay her eggs. They would hatch. And basically what would happen is after the wasp had done her job and laid her eggs inside and more wasps came out, this was the fig pollinated from the inside. And this is then how your fig grows. So for ages there was this belief that, oh my God, am I eating, are the crunchy bits inside a fig a wasp?
Yeah, the female doesn't come back out again, no?
She doesn't come back out. She dies.
She's done her duty.
She has done her duty.
Keels over post-labour and dies.
Absolutely. The young wasps emerge and then they mate, technically kind of brother and sister, and the male wasp
well,
then goes
well, we are talking about
out.
Greece here, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And huge connections to Greece as well. To distill that myth, I suppose there is not wasps inside your fig. They are just the beautiful little, they're seeds.
The female wasp goes in, has all these babies, dies.
Yeah, because she's lost her antennae.
Mate.
Yes.
The females then escape, they fly off, they then have the pollen from this fig that they've come from.
Absolutely.
And they then spread the pollen by then going into another fig and doing exactly what their mother has just done. So what happens all the dead wasps left inside the fig then? If they're not the crunchy bits.
They're not the crunchy bits. There's enzymes inside the fig and they basically break them down and digest them. So ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
They're carnivores.
Yes. Isn't it incredible?
Isn't that that is an amazing story, actually. I really like that. So that is a story I'm definitely going to bore people with who haven't heard this. I was just telling it here on the radio. What am I looking at here then?
So, in terms of eating figs, yes. I think we should eat them. This is the season for them. If you're ever going to try them, now is the season. So what I brought us was a little collection. I got us some chocolate-covered dried figs.
Oh,
now,
nice.
I did taste them earlier. They're a little disappointing, but, you know, I encourage you to try one. Try one for sure. They're too dry,
okay.
So they're too dehydrated. That's the problem. You need figs to have this plumpness, this kind of juiciness, this succulence to them. So I have dried figs, and we were actually talking just before this. Dried figs are beautiful in cake. So if you make a polenta cake or you make a lovely frangipane, dried figs are lovely.
Mm. Do you know what?
It's a bit lackluster, isn't it?
Isn't it? It's nearly the chocolate, really. It's kind of like a slightly sharper version of non-such toffee.
I was disappointed. Yeah.
Yeah, or Reason. Reason, the chocolate chew.
Yeah, but
kind of a sharper version of that. But yeah, it's not the fig really that you're...
No.
I'm still going to finish it. A bit of chocolate.
Go for it. From a nutritional point of view, figs are really good. So you've got about 30 calories in a fig. They contain copper, lots of vitamin B. So in terms of tissue, blood cells, like, you know, breaking down, release of energy from food, all that good stuff, they're really, really good. And they've got lots of fiber. So people don't know, you can eat the skin of a fig. So people kind of wonder about that. So it's very, very smooth. It's kind of silky, velvety. It's got little freckles or little hairs, but very few, to be honest. So you eat the skin of the fig as well as the actual fig.
Yeah, so we have one here. I'll just inspect it. No wasps. I can confirm no carcass, wasp carcass inside it. Oh, but that's obviously the little eye that the wasp went into.
That's at the
or
top.
Or maybe that's at the stem. That's where it was hanging off. So, yeah, they are very soft as well, aren't they?
Yes.
That's the other thing. When I was a fig virgin, I kind of thought maybe they were gone off.
Yeah.
You know, in the supermarket because they were all so soft, but not so.
No. And you've got to be really delicate with them because they're very, very precious. But again, to roast them in the oven. So eating them just like you are now.
Delicious.
They're succulent. They're delicious.
Aren't they?
Yeah, they're mild. They're kind of an understated fruit, I think, in that sense. What they go really, really well with, though, is if you roast them in the oven, a little bit of even like brown sugar honey over them, serve them with vanilla ice cream. Like they're so beautiful,
really?
Even like that. Or cut them open in quarters like we have here, stuff them with a little bit of blue cheese, wrap them in a little bit of crispy bacon. Again, roast them in the oven, sprinkle some crispy pecans on top of that. Like, what a starter.
There's a nice winter starter. I like your ice cream now for a barbecue.
Yeah.
Little dessert.
Parma ham, figs, mozzarella cheese, balsamic dressing would be a really, really
good.
Lovely summer one. And I brought you something that is really accessible.
Okay.
It's one that people can try at home if I think you want an introduction to figs. And it's really interesting. So what we have is a toasted cinnamon and raisin bagel with blackcurrant jam, beautiful Irish creamy goat's cheese, and fresh figs on top. The combination and the flavour is so good. It is just incredible because you're getting the tanginess, you're getting the sweetness, you're getting that warmth from the spice of the little bit of cinnamon in the bagel. And it's just, it's such an alternative, isn't it? It's kind of hard to know, is it breakfast, is it lunch, is it dessert? But all I can tell you is it is delicious.
Oh God, it's absolutely delicious. Yeah, I think a little mid-morning snack now, that's when I'd
Perfect.
Have that.
11 o'clock.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Oh, God, I'm going to have another bite of it there while you tell me about what else is on the chopping board.
I will. They're the dried figs. Again, really, really lovely in porridge. Something like that, they go great. And figs have such a history, I suppose, when it comes to kind of how do they, you know, ever emerge on our shores. And again, they date way, way back to Roman times. And like even back as far as the Bible, Adam and Eve, technically, their story goes that it wasn't an apple, it was a fig.
Oh, no way, really?
Yeah, and a fig tree was the third book that was named in the Bible. There's such kind of, I suppose, history around them. If we go back to the times of Michelangelo and the statue of David, we had all of these Roman statues that were nude, naked statues until the Catholic Church decided, you know what, we actually don't like these anymore. They're a bit too exotic. We want them all covered up. So not only were the figs being used, but the fig leaves then became really, really prominent in society as they were all over all these frescoes and these paintings and these sculptures to cover them up.
Oh, so sorry, the originals were all in the nip.
Yes.
And then they went back, the prudish
Italians.
Allowed. I wouldn't have put them, the Italians, as being prudes, maybe in the Vatican. And so they put fig leaves over all of them. So they've got this rich history. You've mentioned the nutritional value as well. I know you said it's a question for another day. We'll talk about biscuits. But people are going to be screaming out for a bit of information, a bit of background on the fig roll.
So yes.
Like whose idea? It wasn't the ancient Romans who decided to make a fig roll, was it?
No, but the fig, it is genuinely a fig in a fig roll. So it's basically the dried figs like we have here on the board, and you've got them and they basically have a little bit of spice, a little bit of cinnamon, a little bit of allspice that go into them. They're made into this delicious paste, and then that paste is put into almost like a double baked.
The crunch is so delicious.
Isn't it? Of the little seeds on the inside. They're so interesting. They're such an interesting food to eat. Mm. So yeah, so there is figs in a fig roll for sure. And yeah, look, in terms of, I suppose, a biscuit, they're not a bad biscuit to have. Like,
they're great
biscuits. They're energy dense. Oh, they're really healthy.
They're one, I think each one is one of your five a day. That's what we're going to claim here on the show. They're not the king of the biscuits. What's your favourite biscuit?
Ooh, that is a hard question.
Isn't it?
It might be a Kimberley.
Really? Mm, oh, that's a controversial Mikado. Answer yeah. now. A Mikado.
Something with chocolate. Or
chocolate hobnob?
Nah. Not for me.
A chocolate bourbon, no?
Oh, no.
Oh, God, I'd eat the whole pack. In one go. Oh, I have done, and I would.
Dipped in tea?
No, just on its own. I'd just sit down, or a glass of milk. If I had to have a drink with it, a big pint of milk and a full packet of bourbons.
I'd take that.
Yeah, sounds good, doesn't it? Anyway, I don't need it now because I'm going to keep all of this delicious, delicious food, and I'm going to eat it during the ad break as quick as I can before Gavin McLachlan gets here with the business news. Aisling Larkin, TV chef and mindful eating coach, will talk to you again at the same time next week. Don't go anywhere.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.